let's do it. How are you doing, Tori?
Tori looks good. Confused.
Yeah.
Like, I just every time I hear Jonathan Taylor, I'm like, Thomas?
JTT.
Like, it just the fact that you don't continue the name is like really frustrating to me.
We're just going to shoot the shit today, right?
Yeah, it's going to be such a mess. I'm really
good. Good.
All right. Here we go. Welcome to another, I got an email, another episode of Pajiba, the Pajiba television podcast. I'm starting the timer.
Is it a Pajiba related email?
I doubt it.
No. Angry listener.
I don't think anyone has my email, which is nice. I'm Pajiba comedy editor Dan Hamamura. With me as always are Pajiba managing editor Tori Preston.
Hi.
Hi, Tori. And Pajiba's resident big lump of knobs, Dustin Rolls.
It's at gmail.com.
Well, I'm editing that out.
it's not that hard to figure out.
Yeah, right. What is this name, Dustin? What are you? What is this in referencing?
You don't know Big Lump of Knobs.
Is this a band?
It's corn. It's Big Lump of Knobs. Oh my God, you don't know the Corn song?
No.
Corn the band?
Oh my God. It's like the biggest song on like the internet. It like crossed over into like mainstream. It's like this cute little kid who loves corn, and then they turned it into this, it was a meme, they turned it into a song that's now like I think on the radio all the time. It's like,
oh, is this
it's
the corn cob?
Kid? Yeah, the Big Lump of Knobs. Yeah, how to do.
Wait, is this when people keep talking about the corn kid? Is this what they're talking about? I literally thought they were talking about in Twin Peaks, the kid with the creamed corn in his hand. And I was like, why is everyone just now referencing that? That's so weird. There's another corn kid.
Yeah. And earlier tonight, my wife was like singing it and the twins were like, oh, it's such a mom song now. They ruined it. And it really is. It's like he was on the Macy's parade.
When you said corn song, I thought you were referencing the late 90s, early 2000s
band.
New metal band, yes. Corn with a K.
I was really trying to think of a pun that I could combine the two, but I couldn't think of it. So all I got was a big lump of knobs. You got to listen to the song. It's actually the catchiest thing ever, and it's adorable if you watch like the kid.
It sounds like this is like the current Baby Shark.
Yeah.
Except it's not annoying. It's like a really good song.
No, but you know when you find those tribes in the Amazon or whatever, and they've been untouched by modern civilization, and you realize like you shouldn't interfere. You should, you know, like you should leave them alone, observe from a distance. I feel like that's Dan and I. Like if there is some massive trend that has completely bypassed us, we owe it to our little corner of the world.
We're both
to stay
happier
untouched.
Yeah. Not knowing, and also we'll attack you with our spears.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know. All right. I was annoyed when my kid made me watch. He's like, they were like, you have to watch the first thing where the kid talks about the corn. And I'm like, okay. And then you have to watch the video they made out of it. And I was like, all right. But then it was like, for 3 days, I had the song stuck in my head.
And then the kid ended up in the parade?
He's been all over the place. He's I don't know, 6-7 years old and like, The Times wrote about him a couple of weeks ago and how his parents are trying to
monetize a child.
Well, they're trying to be careful about it. Like only do what he wants to do. But there's clearly a lot of money in it.
Speaking of the New York Times, I read that Whole Foods has the drama. Whole Foods is no longer buying Maine lobster because the Maine lobster nets keep catching like endangered whales.
Yeah. And I think
the state of Maine is very angry.
They're trying to run Whole Foods out of the state now.
So how is this going to impact your shopping? Have you already switched to Hannaford's, or you?
I do Hannaford. I rarely go to Whole Foods because whenever you walk into Whole Foods, you can't leave without spending like an amazing amount of money. You just go in for an apple and you leave with $100 worth of crap. Yeah, and like really two slices of pizza.
Salad bar.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's the pizza, foods. The pizza and the sushi and they used to do tikka masala.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they always have the fancy snacks. I just loved going to their chip aisle.
Oh, they do have a good chip aisle.
Yeah.
But post COVID, it's not as good. They got rid of like the burrito stand post COVID.
Whatever.
And even the pizza is kind of like corporate-ish.
So where are they going to get their lobster from?
I don't know.
Are they just not going to have lobster?
They're just going to get crabs?
I don't know.
The crabs have all disappeared.
Shrimp.
I'm interested to see how invested Maine is in this in fighting this, because
is it true?
I've seen letters to the editor where they're like, you know, fuck Whole Foods.
Oh no, but I don't mean that. I mean like are the whales getting caught in the nets?
Oh, I have no idea. I just know they're not using Maine lobster anymore.
Yeah. No, I feel like you can get lobster elsewhere. I just feel like
But I feel like we need like a diagram because lobster is on the ground.
Yes.
And whales are above it. So how does the net also catch?
And what's with the net anyway? I thought there was a whole movie about it, Into the Bedroom or whatever. And it's like that's the phrase for a lobster
cage.
You know, box, like little, cage. Yeah, the box, and it's in the bedroom or whatever.
I thought In the Bedroom was the movie about where the son got murdered and Tom Wilkinson get an Oscar for like crying. And
I thought that was We Need to Talk About Kevin.
No, We Need to Talk About Kevin is Tilda. And Kevin like shot up his school.
Oh. I haven't seen either of these movies.
Hold on. No, In the Bedroom is... Yeah, it's Todd Field. It's Sissy Spacek. Yeah, Tom Wilkinson. Nick Stahl. It's all of them. But it's a doctor practicing in Maine, and part of it is...
Oh.
Yeah, the title refers to the rear compartment of a lobster trap known as the bedroom.
Oh.
So it's like a metaphor in the movie, yeah.
What year was that?
2001.
Oh, see, that was before I moved to Maine, so I wouldn't have
caught it. So you wouldn't have cared.
Yeah.
That's literally all I, because
the
I,
Maine so, references would have been meaningless.
So I had this, I hadn't seen the movie yet, but when I did my internship, my internship was in like 2004 at Miramax. And I remember like I was in the acquisitions department and there, as an example, one of the assistants was like, okay, if you want to see a great adaptation, like here's the script for In the Bedroom and then watch the movie. And she was like, this is one of my favorite movies. So great, great, great. So I read the script. Wonderful. Watch the movie. And I'm like, I don't like the movie as much. It's a devastating movie, but the script was better. And but really what it was part of it. It's like when you hear that title and you get like fixated on what, You have an impression of what the movie is before you watch it. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking it's this, you know, sexy romance drama. And then I'm like, it's about fucking lobsters? The bedroom is lobsters?
I do not remember lobsters in that at all. I just remember Tom Wilkinson, like, crying because his son was dead.
Well, I'm glad we both took two very important lessons from the movie.
Interesting. That title also keeps making me want to talk about Strictly Ballroom, which is not the same, and I know it's not the same, but for some reason In the Bedroom and Strictly Ballroom rhyme in my mind.
I can see that. Yeah.
You know, I would have liked a little bit more of a Strictly Ballroom's chutzpah in the bedroom. Also, speaking of Strictly Ballroom, the star I just heard is now just got elected in Australia. Paul Mercurio is now like a politician. He's like a representative for Queensland or something.
That's amazing. I never saw Strictly Ballroom.
Neither have I.
All right, let's move on.
Not a movie podcast,
the banter portion of this podcast is not done, a movie guys. Podcast,
but Tori likes Spirited, which I raved about 2 weeks ago.
Yes, I did. Yes,
yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
And that's on Apple TV.
Apple TV Plus.
Yeah. Yes. See, people still watch Apple TV Plus.
Right.
Yeah. It was joyful. And the end was a little like a little curveball there.
It was.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I kind of knew the whole time how, like, I didn't know how they were going to get there, and then they got there, and I was like, oh, yeah. That's how they're going to get there, with a bus. Okay.
Yep.
All right. But I will say the ad campaign for Spirited has screwed up so many websites. Like, they're running these ads that, like, you know, when you're scrolling, like, on your phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to read an article, and then it's like, you'll have the big panel ad that comes up, but it like expands. So the Spirited trailer expands over the text and it doesn't shrink back.
Oh.
And this was fucking me up. I was like, oh, what? I was
on. Is that happening on our website?
Not on our website. Oh, no, it was happening on all the food websites I was going to for Thanksgiving recipes.
Oh.
So I'm like on Food 52 or, you know, Bon Appetit or whatever. And like, goddamn, Ryan Reynolds is blocking the recipe. So see, I was a little bitter.
I've been watching all of those stupid Spirited ads because Apple TV Plus asked me for permission to use a lot of quotes from the reviews. So I was like, I want to see which ad they use. So I keep watching all the fucking ads on the internet. Like, hey, wait, nope.
Where's oh. You haven't found your quote yet?
No. And I don't really care, except that I can show my wife and then she's like, oh yeah, you have a real job.
Well, I mean, your wife is just in the newspaper.
That is true. That's because she does have a real job.
So I can appreciate this competition.
Yeah. I'm just trying to like prove my worth.
Dustin, you have multiple jobs. You run a website and you also host a podcast.
I don't host it. You host it technically. We're just your guests.
We're all hosts. We're all none of us are guests. We're all co-hosts.
It's just that there's a hierarchy amongst the co-hosts. That's right.
There's really a hierarchy. It's more that I do the editing, which I'm putting in quotes.
That technically makes it your podcast.
No, that technically means I'm also the engineer, which is a lower ranking position.
Oh, yeah. He does two jobs.
Yeah.
Kind of like you. You have two jobs.
That's right. Yeah. You have the CIA and then you have Pajiba.
Look, it's not when I disappear for weeks at a time, it has nothing to do with the CIA. It is purely about going to another country to facilitate the work
in a bland hotel room, like a nondescript.
Yep.
That's just where they put me up.
Uh-huh.
You're not allowed to say anything about it. Mm-hmm. Non-disclosure.
All right. Well, look, I'm drinking Palmera Pils. It's a beer that I found in my fridge, and I've had it before, and this is the last one, so when it runs out, then I'm going to have a different beer that I also found in my fridge, which is a Japanese lager. Dustin, what are you drinking?
My younger kids went to Trader Joe's with me this weekend, and I let them pick it out, and they picked out Firesteed, a wine, a Pinot Grigio, and it tastes like feet.
Wait, we need to see the label of Firesteed.
How much did it cost?
I think it was like $12.
Oh yeah, your microphone's in the way. Ooh.
Oh,
Firesteed. Yeah,
that's actually more understated than I was expecting.
Yeah. It's like goat cheese wine. I hate goat cheese. That hairy taste of goat cheese. You know, that's in the wine.
Goat cheese, or it tastes like goat cheese.
No, I'm just like the hairy taste, like bad goat cheese, where it's like got that aftertaste that makes you want to puke. It's a little like that, but I'm gonna drink it all.
So when you let your kids pick out the wine, do you give them like a price range or the type, or do you just kind of point them in like whatever they want, or do you at least say like, get me any of the Pinot Gris?
No, I'm like, pick anyone from here, and then if it's like too much, and I say no, that's too much. So I'm like, you know, anything between like 9, I don't want to go under 9 because then it's really shit.
Yeah.
So like between 9 and like 12 or 13, I'll go.
But what if it's Trader Joe? Cause like, then you can, If it's Charles Shaw or whatever, do they still do those?
Charles Shaw?
Yeah, $2
Trader
chuck.
Joe's, yeah.
Do they still do $2 chuck? I don't know.
Well, I think it's $3 or $4 now, but...
I would not drink that because I remember drinking $2 chuck in law school and having really, really bad mornings.
Yeah. Fair.
That's just because you didn't drink enough, Dustin.
You get it. Well, the thing is, you
really?
Save some for the
I didn't
morning.
Drink enough.
Yeah. When you wake up in the morning, yeah, you got to keep going. I went to Trader Joe's and I bought something really disgusting. It sounded good at the time. So they had fancy holiday sodas or whatever. So it's like basically a seltzer, but they're calling it the sparkling pomegranate punch beverage. Hmm. I really appreciate that they added the beverage to the title. And it's supposed to be mostly seltzer, but then like some different juices and stuff. And I was like, there's no way that can be bad. It's freaking awful. So I'm led to believe, and it's kind of in like the smallerish can. So I think it's designed specifically to be a mixer. So I tried adding vodka and it didn't help, it didn't make it worse. So now it's an awful drink that gets you drunk. So, I cannot recommend it, but I would only recommend it with alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
All right. Well, this week it's gonna be weird because
it's a hodgepodge.
Unlike
every other week when we have a full plan, because last week was Thanksgiving in I think most of our listeners are in America, but like it was Thanksgiving here, so almost no shows were airing new episodes.
Right.
Except for Andor, which ended its season. Yeah. So network TV was basically off. And New Amsterdam,
which no one
two
watches,
episodes,
which is Dustin's second favorite medical drama on network TV. Third, if you count Chicago Med, but we're not counting Chicago Med.
It falls under the Chicago. It's really amongst you rank it amongst the Chicago shows.
Right.
That umbrella.
Oh, it's like, you know what did start on Thanksgiving? The Chippendales show started on Thanksgiving.
Not a network show.
I know, but it did start.
Yeah,
and it was like new.
Is that Hulu or is that FX on Hulu?
I don't know. I have no idea, actually. I watched it on Hulu.
Okay.
Well, technically, Wednesday started on...
Oh, it started on Wednesday?
It started...
No, Wednesday, the show.
The show.
Oh, Wednesday started on Wednesday?
The show. Well, it started on November 23rd, which was...
Did
you watch that?
Was it? Okay. I'm in the process.
Oh, what do you think?
Well, we'll get there.
I'm curious. It's a hodgepodge.
All right, let's start with Wednesday.
Okay.
I like it. So I haven't – here's my thing. I have not read – I feel like critics are pretty down on it. And I've seen some people on Twitter that are like, oh, it's great. But it's like, fans that are just kind of like, it's fun. It's fine. I haven't read through the reviews, the more negative reviews. For my part – I'm not surprised by them. I think that a lot of people went into it thinking that it was going to be an Addams Family style show or be a bit more Addams Family-y. And it's not. But what the show really is a straight up Netflix young adult fantasy show. And they just they've fan cast the female lead as Wednesday. So it's literally like if you were to take a YA series of novels about a magical school where, werewolves and vampires and all kinds of crazy things come together and your female lead, who's kind of, a little different, the one who comes and shakes everything up, if it just happened to be Wednesday Addams. And that's the thing. Like, it is a very good interpretation of what Wednesday Addams aged up to be 16 or 17, like high school age, going through she's like rebelling against her family. So it's not really like, it's actually more like the family angle. It's her kind of rebelling against them rather than it being just sort of this united, how like in the movies were always about how this family, if you took them in context, they had their own internal logic and they were actually very loving. They were a nuclear family that was completely functional within their own internal logic. And it's just that everyone outside couldn't understand. And so you have this like very romantic, you know, couple that totally loves each other. The siblings are, you know, intelligent and whatever, but it's just that they're all, you know, weirdos.
I have never watched an Adams Family movie.
Oh my God. Why do I even bother? So this is like a little different because it's like, and you're, it is like, if you've seen the movies and you have like Angelica Houston and Raul Julia being like, you know, very romantic, it does spoil you. So the parents in the show are, Catherine Zeta-Jones and Luis Guzman. And it's actually great casting. If you go back to the original comics, like it's supposed to be like they're overly romantic, but it's awkward. It's not the like steamy, like unbelievable. Cause that was never actually supposed to be
the comics. Okay. Was the television show based on the comics or was the television? Oh
yes. And actually, so
they had comics back then. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, no, I think it was a New Yorker. It was a running New Yorker thing. And actually, I think that they got kicked off because when I think it was like Charles Adams, I might get wrong. I'm sure JS can correct me. I think when Charles Adams sold the rights, like when they made the show, the New Yorker then canceled the strip because it was deemed too like, well, now it's too plebeian. It's like you just went mainstream. It's not highbrow enough. So the magazine got mad about the TV show happening and canceled the strip.
Huh. Interesting.
But yeah, it was before, before the TV show, it was a comic strip that it was all based on. And they, or not strip, but you know, like New York comics.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So in the show, like the Morticia Gomez dynamic is like kind of a little gross because you're seeing it through Wednesday's eyes and she's rebelling. So she's like, ew, gross mom and dad, you know, like it works. But her character is very straightforward. Like it's exactly what you would imagine from the movies or the show or whatever aged up. It's like, she's morbid, dour, violent, you know, unimpressed, emotionless, walking into this, you know, high school situation where people are dying and disappearing and there's a big mystery going on and there are all these cliques and she doesn't fit in and there's a big dance and it's kind of hitting all the hallmarks of like a typical, you know, YA story. It's like, there's the big dance and there's a love triangle and all this stuff. It's just that in the midst of it is Wednesday Adams not performing the way you would expect a YA heroine to perform. And so it's like, once you get to me, it's like, once you, if you can accept that it's not an Addams Family thing, it's literally just a YA fantasy with Wednesday Addams in the middle of it. I think it's really a lot of fun. It's also not as Tim Burton-y as I was expecting. It's like, I mean,
not a bad thing.
Like it could have been a lot worse. Christina Ricci shows up,
is she like a teacher?
As a teacher at the school. Oh. And
that
it's,
makes sense.
Yeah. And it's kind of cute. You know, I think there's something weird going on with her. But also maybe because I'm still kind of obsessed with Yellow Jacket. So whenever I see her face, you're being a creep. I think I'm only like four or five episodes in. And I will say like the one character from the show, they kind of send Wednesday off to school with Thing. And it sounds weird to be like, Thing is a wonderful character, but they have given this disembodied hand so much personality throughout the show. And like the way Thing is like the best co-star. I think it's a lot of fun if you take it on its own terms. And I think that like for what it was trying to do, it's really interesting and it's better than, cause I watched the first episode expecting I wouldn't continue it. And I was like, I kind of like this. There's like a solid mystery. Jenna Ortega is fantastic as Wednesday. You know, you just have to kind of let go of the fact that it's not an Addams Family thing.
And that's actually kind of appealing to me that it's not an Addams thing. Because I was, you know, a Munsters guy growing up.
Well, you're horrible. I was so obsessed with the Addams Family growing up. I watched the movies, and then at the time, because the movies did well, they started re-releasing the TV show on VHS tapes where you get like two or three episodes per tape. Mm-hmm. And they do like 2 or 3 tapes a month. And so I'd make my mom take me to like the one department store in town to rifle through the bins of VHS tapes to see if they had a new Addams Family release. And I tried to collect them all. So I watched the old show and the movies. And by the time I was like 9 years old, I was a 9 year old goth who dressed up as like Wednesday Addams was my Halloween costume, but I was 100% a goth, like all of fourth grade,
goth. That's early. Yeah,
I went through all my phases when I was in grade school. I was a fourth grade goth. I was like a tomboy in fifth grade. I got because I didn't have that much money, but I got my mom to buy me like one Gap boys rugby shirt that I just wore constantly. So I was like, oh, that was me in fifth grade. And then by sixth grade, I was kind of like, I don't know. I started leveling off. I was totally normal. It was fine. But Wednesday Addams,
you were an early
Wednesday
bloomer family. With your moodiness.
Yeah. I also didn't realize, I didn't think I was weird, but then I talked to a friend of mine who like went to grade school with me. And she said, and I never forget the way she phrased it, 'cause I was like horrified. She was like, you were great to know growing up because you were, you didn't believe in God. You were obsessed with death and you knew what sex was. And I was like, oh my God, did I just like ruin
elementary?
I was like, did I ruin kids' lives? Like, was I that kid?
Yes, you did.
That actually sounds like you were like the cool kid.
I don't think I.
She was
like,
the cool kid to adults, maybe not to other kids, though.
No, I feel like it's the opposite. I feel like the kids were fine with it. But if any of their parents knew, I never would have been invited anywhere. Like, and I didn't realize I was so vocal about the like atheism and the death. So anyway, I grew out of it, but it's lovely to, I loved the Addams Family and I don't mind that this is not that.
Tori, since I know you've appreciated their work before, how was it? I mean, obviously you like the show, but like it's the same showrunner creators as Into the Badlands and Shannara Chronicles. Like, was there, I don't know, is there anything like that? Did it make sense that it was them, or was there anything that like felt like, okay, so it wasn't I get why it's them doing this.
Maybe Shannara Chronicles, not so much Into the Badlands, although I think that that might explain why it's less overtly Tim Burton-y. But yeah, I wasn't like, oh, it's, I think the scale of world building is a little different. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was not at all what I was expecting.
Oh, okay.
That's interesting. I didn't actually put it together that I like recognize the name. Yeah. I recognize the names, but I hadn't clicked where I recognized them from.
Because they've obviously played in like big genre space before, but you're right. Yeah. I think both of those shows are much more leaning more towards like sci-fi world building compared to this. But or compared one, to what it sounds like here.
Right. But, you know, and they do have to do, like, there's a monster that's, like, in the forest. There's a history to the school. They bring in kind of the generations. Like, Morticia and Gomez pop up. Like, stuff that happened in their high school years matters. Like, there is an internal world building to fleshing out the story that's interesting. And some of it ties back to things that there's a lot of things that kind of reference what you would have known from the movies, but not in a way that like they're sort of like nods of oh it's cool they're doing a whole pilgrim thing again, like in a very different context. But if you remember that one scene from you know Addams Family Values or whatever, where there's you know Wednesday. They're doing a Thanksgiving play and she like totally destroys it. It's like, there's a little bit of a nod because they end up in this fake like pilgrim town or something, you know, or there's a secret chamber that she figures out the code to open it. And it literally, the code is snapped twice. You do the, you know, Addams Family snaps. Like there are those little things that they kind of tie in, but I like that it's not as wink and noddy. They're kind of, they're there for you to kind of go, oh yeah, but they're recontextualized in a way that fits with the story. It's not just kind of like Easter egg. Like quite that either.
Yeah.
So,
okay. That makes sense.
But no, it's nothing to the scale of the other shows, like very different.
Cool. And you watched the whole thing?
Not yet.
Oh.
I'm only maybe halfway through.
Okay.
I'm still working on it. Also freaked me out because it was killing me. Like one of the other like sort of love interests, except that Wednesday doesn't really like anybody, is this boy. And I was like, this actor, his name looked familiar. Everything about him looked familiar and I could not place him. So I finally looked him up. It's Percy Hines White. The only place I had seen him was The Gifted. Remember that Fox show that was like kind of X-Men, but not really? Like right. he was
that
one
only
of the-
you watched.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, okay, fine.
I remember.
Wasn't Mark Paul Gosselaar in that?
No, he was in the vampire one.
Oh, yeah. What's the vampire? That's the one I'm thinking of.
This one had Suke, the dude from True Blood.
Oh. So it was someone from a different vampire show.
It was like it was the X-Men-y okay. show.
Yeah, it was the X-Men-y
No, I remember
show.
That was the X-Men-y show. I just don't remember which show Mark Paul Gosselaar was in. Other than, of course, Pitch.
Obviously.
Bring exactly. back Pitch. Somehow. do you remember when they did, I think it was this year, they did like a promo for Pitch and everyone freaked out because it was like, oh my God, did someone bring back Pitch? And it was just an ad saying like it's now on Hulu.
I didn't.
But it was him and
that.
Kylie Bunbury.
Cruel.
And it was on like social media and people for a second, like people were like, oh, does this mean they're going to like, they picked it up. They're going to do another season.
That would be That's a good not, April Fool's.
It might've been. But it was kind of
Mark Paul Gosselaar as a catcher has never been more attractive.
Dustin, I think you know what you're saying.
I do. I do know what I'm saying.
We're not gonna respond.
No,
big
that's
lump.
Not what I'm saying.
Big lump of knobs.
all right. Well, that's Wednesday on Netflix.
I reserve the right to say that it's terrible depending on the ending.
That's fair. But so far you're enjoying it. You're going to keep going.
Yeah.
All right. I have a bunch of random shows that I watched. I've been on like another game show kick or competition kick. So it's a lot of like mostly not like, I don't know. They're all fine and entertaining. I don't know.
What's The Mole? Isn't that like an old show?
So yeah. Netflix brought it back. It's old. I mean, like the current season of it's already on Netflix. Like the whole thing. I think it came out a couple months ago. But I'm halfway through and it's pretty enjoyable. It's kind of scratching the itch that Survivor also does.
Is it a Burnett show?
Oh, I don't know. Just in terms of like competition and like people, you know, working together and doing all this stuff. But then like. But they have – because they have a – there's someone that's trying to sabotage them. So it's
– The Mole,
you know,
yeah.
That's The Mole. I don't know. It's just been enjoyable in part because it's – yeah, it's just filling kind of that gap that like – again, I'm watching Survivor and enjoying it. But
right. Well,
this one is a little bit more deception.
How many seasons of The Mole are there?
Well, for the new version, the reboot, this is the first one.
Yeah,
oh, this is the first season. Okay.
Yeah, so
it was a network one for a while.
Yeah, and I never watched the original, so I don't actually know.
So you can just jump into this one.
You can just jump into this one. It's, okay. I mean, the old one was like 15 years ago, I think.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
You can just jump in. It's basically
I'll watch this
like,
one with the family.
Yeah, it's because it's they threw them in Australia. It's a bunch of people, and it's basically like they have to do the. It's kind of like they're playing like escape room games almost, except well, I mean, like someone's trying to sabotage them.
Are they doing, is it Among Us? Among Us.
Not quite. Cause they don't actively remove people from the game.
Okay.
Like, I mean the mole doesn't. So okay. like as an example, there's one where like they went to like an abandoned prison and then they like had to break out of the prison through like it was like again solving puzzles, so literally like an escape room
yeah
but you know one of them is the mole So they have to, so then they have to, like, you know, try to, they're working in teams, but then trying to figure out, like, how to do it without, you know, since they don't know who the mole is, like, as they play, they're both trying to accomplish their goal to earn money. And then also trying to watch each other to be like, oh, is that person screwing up on purpose or are they just making a mistake? And like, or are they trying to screw up? Because the way that you get eliminated is you take a quiz, which is like 20 questions about who you think the mole is. And it's like, is the mole male or female? Or is the mole wearing a hat today? And it's stuff like that. So it's like, you could just be wrong. And then the person who gets the least correct is eliminated.
So the whole time during the game, you actually really do have to be trying to figure out who the mole is.
Oh, totally. And then, like, and then if you're running. And if you're not the mole,
no, that because is you want to like,
because you want to last longer, sometimes people will like purposely screw up to draw attention because they're like, I'm not the mole, but if people think I'm the mole and then they'll answer questions about me, they'll be wrong and they might go home.
So and do the viewers know who the mole is?
Oh, and is it the same mole? Do, like, they don't reset the mole every episode.
It's the same mole for the whole season.
For the whole season. Okay. Yeah. So it must get easier to figure out as people are eliminated.
In theory, but it's hard to tell. So I'm halfway through the season. It's 10 episodes. I'm about 5.5, maybe, so far. And the problem is that it's kind of like depends on the edit or depends on, like, the competitors. But, like, it's like some people are either really like trying to downplay what they're good at and what they're capable of, or they're just really bad at the game. So it's like some people just look like they're just bad at this game and they don't know how to do anything.
Yeah.
Like there's a woman who is an airline pilot. And so like they keep putting her in positions where they're like, oh, she's good at like navigation because she's a pilot and she keeps screwing up navigation. So they're like, it's like, is she the mole? But then it seems obvious because she keeps screwing up. Or is she just not good at reading maps? Or is she trying to screw up on purpose because she wants to last longer? So everyone has kind of like those different levels in some capacity.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's tricky because it's all of the gameplay is happening while they're accomplishing tasks. Like there's no, you know, scramble social game like in Survivor. Like that's separate from, you know, the physical gameplay, right? But in this, everything's thrown into basically like one pot. So it's, you don't really get a sense of who seems like they're being shady and who isn't outside of, you know, confessionals. Like it's like someone saying like, oh, I think so-and-so is suspicious, or I think this person did this. Right. But like most of the time you're just trying to kind of keep up. So it's hard to watch for both.
Well, I'm sure the show edit also isn't trying to tip the audience one way or the other. Like, you're not going to have the hero edit or whatever, like the edit that's like where you kind of go, oh, that's the person that's going to get voted off.
Right. But they definitely, do edit in a way where it's like to make certain people look suspicious. Oh. So like there's an example of like, they're like, oh, can you see what that thing is? Outside of, again, going back to like the cell one, it's like, can you see what is that outside of my cell? And it's a key. And then the other person who's like across from them in a different cell, they're like, oh, it looks like a hair tie. And it's like, now, do they just not see it? Or are they cheating or not? Yeah. Are they trying to sabotage because they are the mole, or are they trying to sabotage because they aren't the mole? So, so it's, or they could just be incompetent. So it's like, you don't know. And so that's kind of like the game you have to balance in your head.
Is there a host?
The host is Alex Wagner, who's from, I think, MSNBC. She's a journalist.
Who was the original host?
I don't remember.
It was somebody.
Let's see.
Recognizable.
It was. But anyway, it's been fun to watch.
That's definitely going to be like the family holiday viewing now. Thank you for that. Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, it was Anderson Cooper, the original.
Oh, really?
Yes, there we go.
Get out of here.
That's right. Yeah, he was the host for the first two seasons, and then Ahmad Rashad was the host for two seasons, and then John Kelly, who I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know him either.
But anyway, it's been, but yeah, it's been entertaining, and I'll probably, I mean, I'm definitely going to finish it. So
I liked it when it was Anderson Cooper because
he, you watched it.
I remember watching it when it first started.
Oh, I never watched it.
But it was great because he was always the most suspicious person on the show because he would be wearing he's like Anderson Cooper-y, but he'd be wearing like all black. And it was just, I just always was like, you're the goddamn mole. It has to be you. I would not have done well.
The thing I was kind of hoping, which I'm sure they're not going to do, but so there are points in the show where they have to decide, like, it's kind of challenges within the group. So there's an example of like everyone can bid. Like, so they did a thing where like everyone can, everyone has to go into this room. There are files of like, you know, dossiers on everybody that's still in the game. So it's good for you because if you look at it, then you'll get more intel about everybody. And like, you'll know more facts that you can use to answer the quiz. Right.
Right.
But if everybody says no, I'm not going to look at it, then the whole team earns money, like they earn 10 grand. But if one person doesn't, it's like a prisoner's dilemma thing, right? Like if one person doesn't, they don't get any money, but that person obviously gets the advantage of the knowledge.
Right.
And so then,
do you play for the team or do you play for yourself?
Right. So they did that. And then they did a thing where they're like, okay, if anyone thinks someone else, you know, looked, then like you can bid money and then write down the name of like who you think it was. And if you're right, you'll be safe. You'll be safe from elimination this week. You don't have to answer questions, but the money that you bid is taken out of the total prize pot. So like, so you can screw over others to keep yourself in the game longer potentially.
Yeah.
And they do stuff like that to kind of like mess with the, you know, the team dynamic and all that. And it kind of makes me think like, it'd be great if they did one season where there's no mole. And it's just, it's just to see like how they fuck with each other. But I'm sure that there is a mole.
But you said there are two teams, right?
No,
or
it's
everyone, all one team.
It's all, you're all working together.
Okay.
to build the prize pot.
Okay.
But then people get eliminated, you know, every episode.
Right.
So yeah, you are in theory all working together, but also all trying to make it to the end.
There's also a bit of a Squid Game thing going on there.
There's a little bit of that.
Building the giant piggy bank.
Yeah. Speaking of Squid Game, there's another game show that I watched.
Oh dear.
No, it's actually a long running Japanese game show, but it's the Netflix, again, also on Netflix. The Netflix title is Run for the Money. But it's basically you're playing tag in a, they did it in like a theme park. So it's all these Japanese celebrities. They let them loose in this park, which is for some reason, a theme park in Japan that is modeled after, I think, like a Dutch town or something. So they're walking out around this weird, like Dutch Disneyland.
With
no rides. And then there are these hunters who are guys in suits who are released, and then the hunters chase them down. And then,
but just tag. So,
If they get tagged, then they're out.
Okay.
That's basically it. But they have to survive for, I think it was 3 hours. And then there are different tasks to, like, you can earn more money if you complete certain tasks, or you can like reduce the number of hunters, you know, if you do the right stuff, or, and then they had a thing where like you can become a spy and rat out where other people are, and if you do and they get caught, then you get money like yourself. So it's, that one's only 4 episodes, and it has a weird vibe. It's fun, but it has a weird vibe because it's like, it's a bunch of like basically like D-list Japanese celebrities. So it's like some people are like singers, some people are comedians, some people are like panel host kind of people. And they're all kind of running around this park. You know, some of them are trying to work together. Some of them are, you know, like, I don't trust anybody. And then the announcer is this woman who is using a very spooky voice the whole time. So she's like, this is not, obviously she's speaking in Japanese, but she's like, the hunters have found John. And then like, you see the camera rushing towards them. And I also felt bad for the poor cameramen because they have to run with everybody across right. this park for hours. And then there's also like a chairman type role where he's in like a booth with real bad CGI, like, like with the action on screens and he's like pushing buttons and stuff. But that section is comedy. Like he's like, he's like, oh, I have the card in front of me of the person who's betraying his comrades. Who could it be? And then the cameraman keeps like trying to pan around him to like see it. He's like, wait, what are you doing? He's like, I'm trying to hide this. And then the camera starts, he's like, what's your name? And then the guy says his name. He's like, you're on thin ice. And but it's like a weird, so there's just a like, weird yeah. clash
the tone
of tones.
Of the, yeah.
Yeah. Plus it has like the over the top Japanese reality show energy going for it. So it's a weird mix, but it's a very fun kind of silly game.
That kind of sounds awesome.
It's pretty fun.
So is it only one season or?
There's only that one ran a bunch in Japan, but again, only one season on Netflix, which is okay. like their reboot. So that one's 4 episodes. Yeah. And it's just one game. Like it's like the one game over the 4 hours.
Oh,
so
it's not like it's, a new batch of celebrities. The next episode is
no. Cause it's all like the same 30. And then, you know, as they get eliminated.
My God.
But these Japanese celebrities are no one we would recognize.
I don't think there's anyone. I feel like there's like a K-pop singer who K-pop fans might recognize. Mm.
Yeah.
And then there's like a figure skater who like you might kind of remember. But like there are a couple of people who you might if you knew, like you might be like, oh, they look familiar. Maybe you've seen them in something. But for the most part, no. I mean, I didn't know. I think for me, the figure skater looked familiar and one of the comedians I'd seen in something, but that was about it. We're running out of time very quickly.
Oh, are we? But,
well, we're getting there. What else did I watch? The Big Brunch on HBO Max.
Oh, yeah, I've heard mixed things about
it
that.
It was fine.
Yeah.
Is that the?
It was mixed. Pleasant. It's Dan Levy created... it is a cooking competition show. They do a couple weird things. One is that like at one point they like break the fourth wall. They do it a couple times where they break the fourth wall and like pull the camera away from like the set. So then all of a sudden you see how much you're in a soundstage and it's kind of confusing. Like it's jarring yeah. to be yeah. like, oh, right. Like I understand that this is on a stage.
Right.
But now I feel very weird and it looks much smaller than I thought. I don't know. It was okay. It's kind of, it's pleasant. And like it has a, that one has a weird vibe too, where like it's a competition, but everyone's really nice and like loves each other. And like they play kind of like light jazz music or like light music as like they're cooking. So it's not, it doesn't have the intensity of like Top Chef.
Yeah.
Even Top Chef, they're not like, I don't think they have villains anymore really on Top Chef, but it doesn't have like the intensity of like, no, there's a competition. We're going to cut it and film it and produce it like it's a competition to make you curious about the competition. It's really more
are
just
they,
like.
Are they just making brunch food?
Well, so it starts with that. And then it kind of, by the end, it's pretty much just like you're making your food.
I hear from like people that are disillusioned with the Great British Bake Off that this is a good alternative to that.
I don't know the Great British Bake Off, but that's supposed to have kind of a positive vibe, right?
Yes.
So yeah, this is very much in that vein of like we're trying to have, you know, a mostly positive vibe show.
And GBBO is a little less positive than it used to be, so they're like,
okay.
Yeah.
I want them to do a whole episode on Hollandaise sauce.
They did not, but that would have been good.
Yeah, I really like a good – I don't like Hollandaise sauce, and yet I like Eggs Benedict, but I wouldn't like Hollandaise,
yeah.
Hollandaise sauce. Yeah.
The thing that was tricky –
you can do it right, I imagine. Right. And it's necessary. Yeah. You have to have it in Eggs Benedict.
Right. The thing that was tricky about this show was that it was very, especially early on, it was hard. They didn't really focus much on the cooking. Like, it was so much more about, like, the chef's personal stories and their journeys and where they came from and all that stuff in a way that, like, it was kind of hard to tell, like, who was good.
Yeah.
Versus, like, Top Chef. Like, you know, obviously you can't taste the food, so you can't really know. But, like, Top Chef, I feel like, does a pretty good job of, like, articulating who's doing well, who isn't. Mm-hmm. And on this show, it wasn't, especially like earlier, it's kind of not that clear.
Well, it's also like
bad editing.
Early, like the first half of Welcome to Wrexham kind of did that with the players, where you would meet the players solely through their backstories, but you couldn't really tell. It got better at showing the games and who was doing well, like actually on the pitch. But in the beginning, I was like, they do a package for a player, and I was like, I can't tell if this is because they're the best one on the team or they're about to get cut.
Right.
Well, it makes me wonder
if
that's actually a side effect of kind of like this idea of like trying to make it so positive, because like, that's like similarly to, I didn't make that connection, Tori, but that makes total sense, because similarly, Wrexham is very much like trying to portray it in a positive light. Right. Like even when people get cut or they leave the team or whatever, but in doing so, it's just like when there is criticism, it's harder to measure.
Right.
Versus like, you know, Top Chef, I think they're very positive when it's warranted. But like, you know, they'll still be like, no, this is not very good.
Well, and it's the whole focus is on, you know, you will get a little bit of the backstory or whatever, but like it really is about what they're doing in the kitchen, like how they're performing these tasks.
Yeah. But it's but yeah, it was, I mean, it was good enough to finish the whole thing, which is now up. It's 8 episodes, goes pretty quickly.
I did not even realize it was a game show. I definitely thought it was like Chef's Table or something, where it was like Dan Levy just getting interesting guests together to have brunch.
I kind of thought that too.
Right. Yeah. Like, I think because I've only seen one promo image, and it was like him at a booth with like a couple of, you know, I was like, oh, it's just Dan Levy having brunch with people. That seems cute.
I did not know anything about it except that I had heard it was a competition show, so that was why I tried it. And also Gangs of London is back, but I've only seen one episode, so we'll talk about that later. But it's back if you have AMC Plus.
I will join you in talking about it next week.
It's very violent.
Good.
Which is not a surprise. Sorry, Dustin, I have monopolized so much time.
Hey, no.
You have stuff to talk about.
I watched my hodgepodge is Echo 3 on Apple TV Plus. I don't want to talk about it too much yet. Is it like Luke Evans and Michael Huseman? They're like CIA types who, Michael Huseman's wife is kidnapped and they have to, in South America, and they have to rescue her. And I finished the first 3 episodes, and then I think there's a big twist coming up. So I don't want to talk about it until, because it's kind of right now, it's sort of a, it feels kind of like a traditional CIA sort of show. But I think there's a big twist coming. That's going to make it less
likely. And
it's
not a sequel.
No.
Okay.
Even though it's called Echo 3. I don't
really
know why it's called Echo 3 yet.
Okay.
I also watched Leopard Skin, a Sebastian Gutierrez show on Peacock with Sebastian's wife, Carla Gugino. It's very sensual. A lot of violence, a lot of sex. It's sort of a messy love story between two women that sort of unfolds over the course of an abduction. And there's lots of little twists and flashbacks, and I wouldn't want to spoil it, but it's actually really good. And Sebastian Gutierrez did Jet on Cinemax. And if you like that, you would love this. I don't know why it's on Peacock, but... Then again, I have no idea where else it would. It belongs. It's a Cinemax show, but Cinemax doesn't really exist anymore.
Right.
So I don't know where else it would go. It's very entertaining. And I also watched the third and final season of Dead Like Me, which was have you seen either of the first two?
Yep.
I know people really like it.
It's really good. And the third season, I think Applegate's MS sort of like
hinders it.
Or it doesn't hinder it. No. Oh. It's like it hovers like the whole you know. Like,
it feels like that was emotionally incorporated?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to spoil too much, but Linda Cardellini's character does get cancer. And so there's a lot of like grieving and loss and also comedy, but yeah. So, like, Cardellini and Applegate spend a lot of time crying, and it feels very appropriate. So, it's a really emotional final season. I didn't expect that, but also, you know, as funny as Dead Like Me usually is, and it's messy, and the logic doesn't always make sense, but it's really good. And James Marsden just is, as always, excellent, even if he just shows up and he's like, oh, James Marsden, I love you.
Oh, he's perfect.
I know he was in the first season and he gets killed, and then they loved him
spoilers, Dustin.
I'm sorry. Okay, fine, whatever. If you haven't seen the first season yet, so they loved him so much they had to invent, they did the identical the twin. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, he's, but the it one works.
You see that for. Yes,
it's also like, it's also like, really, you can, like, he plays the character differently enough that you kind of buy it.
Yeah.
Even though you're like, I know this is just James Marsden again.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So the best thing about, so on Saturday, I watched Leopard Skin. So my favorite thing to do is like find a couple of shows and like alternate episodes. And Leopard Skin and Dead Like Me were half hour shows. So it was amazing. You just alternate back and forth half hour episodes. It's like the perfect day if you're into that sort of thing.
That's monstrous.
Yeah, it's just like,
I cannot imagine that.
It was like 18 episodes and like plus Echo I did.
How do you alternate?
Yeah. They're on different services, so you're taking the break to go to the other to queue it up.
Right. I would start with Leopard Skin, then watch Dead Like Me, and then Echo 3, and then.
So it's like you construct a binge that is not a binge. Like, well, the definition of a binge is watching one show like for hours on end, but
it's like you've built your own night of television, but then you watch that night over like 7 weeks in a row.
It was so fun. I'm not kidding. I really had a great day.
Watching these three shows. It sounds awesome, but I'll do something where it's like if I know there's something heavier, if it's like a longer show and I know I'm going to end up watching a couple episodes of it, I'll usually start with like, okay, if there's a comedy, a half hour fun thing, let me watch that first, get myself settled in, and then like whatever I'm really going to binge, then I go into it. But it's like, I can't. Then if I know I'm going to watch multiple episodes of that, I can't pull myself out midway.
No, I like to do this a lot. I've done it quite a bit, and it's. But I don't know that I've ever done it with two half hour shows. I've done it with 2 hour long shows, which is
harder, I would imagine.
It is more difficult because you're like, at some point you're like, fuck it, I'm just gonna go through with this one. Like at the fourth episode, you're like, I can't, I gotta. But with this, it was easy to go back and forth because it's only half an hour, and when
you're watching it at 1.7 speed, anyway.
It's only 20 minutes. Yeah,
that's disgusting, Dustin.
No, it's not. You guys don't use the 1.5 speed on Netflix. Come on.
No,
they give it to you. You never used it.
And it should be banished to – there should be a feature to –
use it on your podcast.
Yeah, podcasts are different.
I don't know why that's different.
I'm thankful that people can do that to us. I don't want to do that to a TV show. But I also think – here's my thing. If you're going to do it to a TV show, I think that there should be some sort of like balance sheet. Like if you have sped up something at a certain point, you have to watch the next thing will be slower by the same amount. Like it will there has to be balance.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
So watching it at 1.5 or 1.73, it's not really like a thing. It's like it feels normal to me, except I will say on Yellowstone, just the way cowboys walk looks weird because they all walk bow-legged. And when you do that at a quicker speed, it's like, what is going on? Why? Yes, exactly.
They probably look like marionettes.
Yes, yes. Yes. And I just noticed that today where it's like, oh, it's weird watching bow-legged cowboys walk a little faster.
Just a little.
That strut doesn't look like a strut. It looks like a marionette. Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's just like a little surreal. Now I might actually have to try the 1.7.
That's the first time that, yeah, it sounds like something I would enjoy.
I would queue up Westerns just to do that. Like, come on, Clint Eastwood. Show me what you got.
Oh, see? We got through it.
Oh, no. It's not. What happened?
Did you have your volume? Did you kill the duck?
Did nobody watch Chippendales besides me?
No. You started this whole episode off with it. How was it? Did you like it?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of generic biopic, but Kumail is amazing.
There
so,
we go. Yeah.
I didn't know it didn't ring earlier.
I didn't know anything about the story, the Chippendale story, and it's pretty interesting.
And the rest of the cast looks pretty impressive too. Like, if I had not drank
an entire bottle of wine, I could probably remember the rest of the cast.
If I paid more attention to the trailers, I could. I just every time I see a trailer for it, I'm like, oh, that person is in it too. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen a trailer for this show.
The Chippendale show?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
I know it exists. I know it has
really? Kumail. And it's Kumail. Yeah.
That's all I know.
It's good. It's good.
I've been too busy watching game shows.
It's a big lump of nut.
Oh, God.
All right. Well,
we did not talk about the Andor finale.
We did not. It was great.
It was great. I like our leftovers better.
Our leftovers were nice. Yeah. It's hard to talk about Andor just because, I don't know, it's like there have been jokes on the internet from screenwriters being like, what are we even doing, like, when Andor exists? And that's kind of how I feel, because I'm like, Mike, he's so good. Tony Gilroy is so good at what he does. And like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that room was Tony Gilroy, Dan Gilroy, and Bo Willimon. Like, that's insane. Yeah. Like, of course it's going to be great. And, you know, of course it's like they don't need other people, but it's also like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's jealousy and just like awe. But also, I think
one of the best comments I heard about it, which I totally agree with, is that it's like it took this long for the Star Wars universe to finally define what the rebellion was fighting against. Like, you actually get a sense of, and that's really what the show, to me was. It was, it was because it was kind of street level, like not the higher ups. It's just, here's who is what the Empire really looks like for the grunts working on it. And here's what the rebellion really means to the people just on these planets.
Right.
It's weird to kind of finally feel the personal stakes in something that we've been watching since childhood. And comparing it to, somebody like comparing it to Alderaan blowing up, which was a huge moment. But it's like, yeah, it's true. It's like having someone say they hear those screams cut off isn't quite the same as having a dead person's like projection to like telling people, like whipping people into a, a fight. Like it was.
Also, the moment they kicked over B2 Emo, it's like, oh, they're all going to be murdered.
Oh,
like, you have to kill them.
I do feel bad. I am more emotionally like that B2 Emo, that robot just broke my heart.
I forgot that the intro, because I got to the end and then kind of went back and I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched like just the intro of the first episode just to remind myself.
Pissed on.
Yeah, that's how we meet him, is being pissed on by like,
and his life gets worse.
Yeah.
Like the character arc for that robot is my favorite thing ever. Cause it's like, your first shot, he gets peed on.
Right.
And then everything just gets worse for him.
Right.
And it's so sad.
And I'd kind of forgotten that for Cassian, his first, the thing that kicks all of this, I mean, obviously it was the people he had to, the guards he had to kill, but what kicks this off is he's looking for his sister.
Yeah.
And him looking for his sister in the wrong place at the wrong time is what gets him on this path.
And because they kind of gave you those first two or three episodes together, like you kind of are led to think that that is what this show is going to be about. Like that is the mystery.
Right.
Like righting the wrong of this child that's been taken away from a planet trying to find their family.
Right.
And you're like, it just is not that show. He probably will never find his sister. That is not what it is about. It is about this character finally like joining. It is about him joining the rebellion.
Right.
Like he intersects with them through all of this. We see how the rebellion works, and by the end it's him finally
and it's
wholeheartedly
converting. It's weird to have like, because those are very clear personal stakes for a character that like it's like makes sense, like, oh, of course that's like a central, you know, wound that will have to come back at some point. But if it never does, it's fine because that's not the journey he's on.
Right. I appreciated it. And I do think like, cause I was kind of among the people who thought it started a little slow. And I think that like by the end I was like, nope.
Yeah.
Well done. Love all of it. Wouldn't change a thing. That was great.
Mm-hmm. Also, I like that Andy Serkis has said, we didn't see the body. So who knows?
Yeah.
I'm holding on to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it would not cheapen that moment where he says he can't swim. I think it'd be fine.
I hope he and B2 Emo, like if they got a little show together, like it was just like the two people that like Cassian left behind and they just, okay. We talked about Andor.
Yeah. We talked about Andor a little bit.
And Chippendales. So we got everything.
And Chippendales.
We did everything.
Look, there's a lot of TV out
there. We didn't talk about New Amsterdam.
Never going to talk about New Amsterdam.
Okay. Okay, whatever. Freema left at the end of last season.
Oh, Freema Agyeman?
Yeah. And then
you she talked left about him. Her leaving.
Yeah, and she left him at the altar. And then in the fall season finale, she's coming back.
Like to the show or just for like a one-off?
I don't know. There's only three episodes left.
Oh, this is like the last season of the...
Right. And then it comes back on January 3rd, and then 10th, and then 17th. Max had started to fall in love with another person. And then Freema, it looks like she's coming back. So, a lot of drama, y'all. Nobody cares, but whatever. It really does, like, has the... You see all these CBS procedurals which have these actors that you love. You're like, oh my god, that's where that person went. And this is like one of those shows which has Freema and it has Tyler Labine, and Max is the guy from The Blacklist. Nobody watched The Blacklist except me for like two seasons. Whatever.
Dustin, are you satisfied with the trajectory the show is on?
It's a really good network hospital show.
Right. What will you replace it with when it ends?
Is there another good? I don't know.
I mean, I'm not pretty going sure to
the Grays.
It's The Resident.
Oh God! All right, I'll give it a shot. I like a good hospital drama. I don't know if The Resident's a good one though.
Well, we'll never know unless you...
I know. And there's only so many. And the New Amsterdam is one of the rare ones that, you know, doesn't run for 15 seasons because I think it got too expensive.
I think because of the cast wrong. Or...
Yeah, it's a big cast. And yeah, I think a lot of it had to do with the cast.
Huh. Well, I hope you find your next... hospital show. And if nothing else, I'm pretty sure one of the characters on La Brea was like a doctor or a nurse or something. I feel like I remember you saying that.
I like to have one police procedural and one hospital drama in my rotation at all times.
And it's still The Rookie.
The Rookie, yeah. Yep.
Are you still watching 911?
I did quit that, yeah.
Yeah.
earlier this season. It's just like, yeah.
It's just too much about the characters, not about the cases, I feel like.
I might go back to it. It's just when there's too much TV, there's not enough time for 911. If there's not a lot of TV, maybe I'll watch it.
Yeah. I feel that.
It's corn.
We'll hear about it on next week's Pod Jiba with Dustin singing corn songs. Like Freak on a Leash.
Everyone knows what I'm talking about except the two of you.
I cannot believe you can actually name a corn song.
I just remember, that's the only one I remember. But
I just remember the way their name is written. Like I remember the, like, I don't know,
yeah,
the
artwork. It looked like, but weird, and
I don't know. It was just the corn, like the kid.
Yeah.
I don't,
yeah.
But I don't, I never remember their music. They could have been singing about corn.
They could have been.
I don't actually know what they were singing about. Anyway, that's not important here. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, Dustin's not saying it, or did he freeze?
He froze.
I didn't. I froze, but you guys froze.
You froze. Say good night.
No, you froze.
Good night.
All right.
Am I here?